I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Oh, my head is hurting already, James. Trying to figure out all these playoff matchups for this week. Welcome in, Brad, here with James Murphy on this episode of Prep Rally, the 17th of April. Which means, yes, it's almost playoff time for baseball and softball teams in the area. We'll talk about that some. Got a little spring football because it's that time of year for football as well. Yeah, how about that? Got some coaching news. Pretty packed episode, so we'll get to it in a second. Just want to remind you that we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes or Spotify, any of your podcast apps you have there. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalSports for updates on high school and college sports and more. And be sure to check out the other podcast we have, Justify Your Existence, with Brendan Farrell, and James is sometimes on there. I think this week he's with Michael Katz.
That's right.
Yeah, with our Ole Miss beat reporter. So be sure to – you can find that also in any of your podcast apps. And I think that episode is dropping today, just like this one. Okay. Is that it? Oh, Pizza Doctor, our sponsor. Got to shout them out. We've got the meat lovers, and we've got the Mexican. Brendan couldn't eat the Mexican. Spicy food makes little Brendan's tum-tum hurt. Yeah.
In broader terms, yes.
Can't handle it. Can't handle the heat. Oh, well. So let's jump into the baseball and softball stuff. I went out to Lafayette on Tuesday to watch them play New Hope, which is leading Region 1-5A. And was trying to clinch the number one playoff seed last night. Lafayette, you know, they're going to be the four seed out of that region. But after seeing them play last night, if they can play that way going forward, they could surprise some people. They jumped on New Hope early and rolled to an 11-1 win in five innings. Just came out swinging the bats hot. Mabry Eason, 4-for-4. And it's the first time I've seen her play, James. She's a transfer from West Lauderdale. So perhaps I've come across her in the playoffs in the last year or two. I don't recall, but so her dad got a job at Ole Miss before the school year, so she now plays for Lafayette, and she can rake. She first time up hit a 2-run homer in the first inning to put Lafayette up 2-0. She had a big double in the third when they scored 4 runs. She had 2 more RBI singles, and you know James, when you see a softball player and they hit the ball and the ball just seems to come off the bat different or has that different sound.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a little bit more pop coming off of some players' bats.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, that's her. And also, shouldn't fail to mention the girl from New Hope, Joria Henry, I think that's how you pronounce it. She had a couple of base hits, but they didn't really let anybody else in the lineup hurt them. But she is one of the best hitters in the state, and it's the same with her. The ball just sounds different. But Mabry Eason had a big night at the plate, but so did several other players for Lafayette. I mean, up and down the lineup, you know. And Coach Greg Lewis told me after the game, you know, when we're hitting like this, we've already got the pitching and the defense. Like, if we can hit consistently like this, which they haven't done a lot of times this season, then they can make some noise in the playoffs, and that's what he believes. And again, after seeing them Tuesday night, I think he's probably right. So that's a team to keep an eye on in the playoffs. And a couple other players to mention: Braylee Crow, just an eighth grader, had 3 hits for Lafayette, and Sydney Krieger, the starting pitcher for Lafayette, got out of some jams. She stranded a runner on third base in each of the first 4 innings.
Wow.
Yeah, so New Hope had its chances, just could not come through with a big hit. Let's move on to a game you had the other night, and not so much about the game, but about the whole weird tiebreaker deal in Region 1-3A. Mantachie beat Boonville to close out the region schedule.
Right.
So that leaves them with an identical region record as Kossuth. They played Kossuth in a doubleheader back on Saturday. They split. Score of both of those games was 2-1, so you can't go with the head-to-head score differential.
Right.
So me and some other people, I think even Mantachie coach Christy Montgomery thought that, you know, as long as they beat Boonville and don't give up however many runs, they get the one seed. And they did win. What was the final again?
They won 2-0. They were, from what I was told, going in that Mantachie gets the number one seed if they win and allow four or fewer runs.
But that was not the case.
It was not. It ended up coming down to team did better against Boonville. And from what it looked like, Kossuth had a better run differential in their games against Boonville than Mantachie did.
Yeah, so Kossuth gets the one seed, Mantachie the two.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I've looked at the tiebreaker rule in the MHSAA handbook more than once, and these things just give me a headache. This is why I leave it to Brandon Shields to sort all that out. That's his specialty, the tiebreakers. So, yeah, Kossuth gets the number one playoff seed out of Region 1, 3A. And that's just such a loaded division between, obviously, Kossuth and Mantachie. And Boonville, which is maybe not the Boonville of the past 3 years. You know, they won three straight titles. But they played, Kossuth and Mantachie close pretty much every time they played them.
Definitely. And Monday, was about as much of a pitcher's duel as you could have gotten. I mean, Ramsey Montgomery, as you know, the name speaks for itself at this point in the year.
Yeah.
But O.J. Garrett of Boonville really coming into her own and did not allow an earned run in that game. There were no earned runs in it. I think the only two runs came on an infield error. She did a really terrific job. And at the very least, she could keep them in a lot of games in the postseason and make them very dangerous.
They just got to figure out how to score more effectively. That's been kind of their bugaboo this year because Garrett has been just fantastic in the circle. Switching to baseball. We mentioned Kossuth softball. Well, Kossuth's baseball team is rolling along as well. They just wrapped up the season, last night. And I did a story on them I posted it Monday at djournal.com. It was in Tuesday's paper. So they've played a game or two since then. But this is a team that got knocked out of the 3A North Finals by Amory last year. A lot of those guys are back, and they believe they have the kind of team that can make another run and possibly win state. I believe that as well. It really helps that they got their catcher back not too long ago, Bryson Jackson. He had missed several games with a broken finger. He's come back and hit the ball well. He's been invaluable behind the plate. Of course, they have Hank Eaton, the Auburn signee, who pitches and plays shortstop. And they've got, several other guys, Hunter Hutchins and who else they have? This Aiden Wilbanks has done well for them on the mound, 0.83 ERA. He's a sophomore. So, yeah, they got the pieces to do it, and they hit the ball well as a team. Hank Eaton batting .442 as of the writing of this story. Eli Hinton hitting .371, 23 RBIs. So, Kossuth has won that region, 1-3A, and expect them to make a run at it in the 3A playoffs. Let's switch to some spring football. It has begun for several teams in the area. Some others will begin next week. But, James, you got out to Shannon on Tuesday.
Yep.
And got to talk with Ken Topps, the head coach, and his quarterback, Trey Spurgeon, who's got a lot of experience under his belt.
Definitely. This is Topps' second season at Shannon, and he was the quarterback for the team that – the last team to make the state championship, which was in 1999, and Shannon is looking for its first playoff win since 2010. And obviously they would love to get back to a state title or just win a playoff game, but – you know, talking to Coach Topps, he really likes the energy. He really likes the buy-in that you're getting from a lot of the team, which has a pretty impressive freshman class coming in from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And he thinks that the team is capable of being even better from a year-to-year standpoint than what he was able to do, from what his teams were able to do back then. And so the expectations are high, and they've got plenty to work with.
Yeah.
Trey Spurgeon's a big reason for that. He was a really big dual threat guy. And, you know, when Keegan Ruff, their running back, went down, he really stepped up as their primary run threat and was able to help them win a couple of games.
And Ruff is coming back this year. And they've got Da'Garius Clifton, the really good wide receiver, had a big season last season. They've got – and they're always going to be pretty strong at the skill positions. But looking to get over that playoff hump. Like you said, they haven't won a playoff game in, 14 years now. They've been to the playoffs pretty much every year since then, but just can't Can't get that first round win. I went out to Lafayette on Tuesday before my ball game at Lafayette. So, yeah, I did get two birds with one stone there. Went out to Lafayette football practice on Tuesday. That was their first day on the field. Talked to Coach Anthony Hart and their quarterback, Nick Thompson. Thompson was the starter last year, had a pretty solid season, threw for over 2,000 yards, 20 touchdowns. He did throw 14 interceptions. So that's kind of going to be one area of focus for him this offseason, this spring, is to cut down on those, just make better decisions. He's got the arm talent. They're not worried about that. They are going to let him run the ball a little bit this year. He didn't really run it much at all last year. And they didn't have a strong running game last year either, so that could have something to do with wanting to let him run the ball this time around. He lost his top two receivers, Mekhi Reed-Jones and Dee Gibson, but he's got some good guys coming back like Charvon Bell. But he's going to have to break in some younger receivers. I mean, this team, I think, lost 20 seniors, so Nick Thompson is going to have to take on a much bigger leadership role this year. But, Anthony Hart, he had coached – at Lafayette previously, won back-to-back state championships, and last year was not up to their standard. But between him and the way he runs things, and Nick Thompson and some of these other guys, I think they'll be closer to normal this coming fall. Coaching news: Jodan Roberts on the move from Blue Mountain to Neusite as the new boys basketball coach over there. And we were discussing this in the office earlier. Wrote in my story that Neusite is a blue blood program. I ended up changing it to tradition rich. I don't know. It's about the same thing. Yeah, they haven't won a state championship since 1969, but that's not the only metric you use to determine, okay, is this a tradition rich program? Because they field competitive teams more often than not. They went to the state semifinals this past season. I saw Neusite a few times this past year, and it's very good. 2A team. They are losing their top two scorers from this past season, but they have a good pipeline that feeds the program, and I think it's a really good situation that Jodan Roberts is walking into. When he took over at Blue Mountain 7 years ago, they were coming off a winless season, and he made them competitive. So he's starting with a lot more raw material here at Neusite. And then you got Chad Brown going to Kossuth. From Walnut. He was at Walnut, 1 year?
Yep, he was at Walnut 1 year, and then the years prior he spent, I believe, 2 years at Ripley and 4 years at New Hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Going backwards.
And I always get him confused with his brother, who's a twin, Chase. Really? Chase Brown, the coach at East Union.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, so Chad going to Kossuth takes over for Rick Hodum. This is a team that, just 2 years ago made the state semifinals, I believe it was, and they won a state championship, 4 or 5 years ago. They've had some very good recent success there. And I know Chad's a good coach, and I expect he'll do some good things at Kossuth. Okay, let's wrap it up with Athletes of the Week. You can go to our Twitter page at DJournalSports to vote for female and male Athletes of the Week. Female nominees this week: Avery Bridgman of Pontotoc, Mabry Eason of Lafayette, and Braylee Martin of West Union. Male nominees: Cruz Lackey of South Pontotoc, Ty Long of Ripley, and John Gray Morrison of West Union. Again, go to @DJournalSports and vote for Athletes of the Week. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us. Again, check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Best pizza in town. Thanks to James for co-hosting today. You can find him on Twitter at @JSMurphyMedia. Can find me on there at Brad Locke. So for James and Podgator, I'm Brad. We'll see y'all next time.